Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Weinstein, and welcome back to another episode of the Cedarville Stories podcast. In fact, it's a historic podcast because we just surpassed 75,000 listeners to our program since the podcast began 4 years ago. Thank you for being a faithful listener, and I look forward to sharing with you more great stories as we surge toward 100,000 listeners. Stay tuned. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Brianna Pacheca, who will graduate from Cedarville University in just a couple of months. We'll talk about the excitement that is increasing for her as she nears her college graduation. But the primary topic today will center on a missions trip that she went on with her parents many years ago that changed the direction of her life and how she now hopes to use her degree in civil engineering with sharing the gospel. So let's go to my conversation now with Brianna Pacheca on today's Cedarville Stories podcast. Brianna, it's great to have you in studio today, just 2 months away from your college graduation. So for me, as you can tell by looking at me, it's been quite a while since I was ready to graduate from college. So for you, as you move closer to that great day, are you getting excited or is there a little bit of melancholy? You know that your time on campus is short and what you've known for the last 4 years is coming to an end. So where are you on that spectrum?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely on both sides of it. I'm ready to be done with kind of room checks and making my bed every morning.
You still have to make your bed when you grow up.
Man. So yeah, definitely ready to kind of step into the next phase of being surrounded by unbelievers more and being challenged more in my faith. But yeah, also kind of sad and don't want it to happen yet because there's a lot of relationships I haven't been able to form and people that I'm going to miss a lot. Yeah. So yeah, definitely both sides of it, still kind of battling.
So when you think back to your 4 years at Cedarville, what are some of the highlight memories that come to mind?
The first thing that I think of is chapel. I love just worshiping with everyone, hearing all the voices. Brings me to tears a lot of times, just hearing just kind of the chorus of believers, and it just makes me imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. So that's definitely a core memory, is just having so many people to worship with. And then also just everyone here has the same foundation of we love the Lord and we're here to serve him.
Yeah.
And even though we all have different careers, that's just kind of the foundation and the mindset that everyone has. So it's really cool because every friendship kind of starts there.
It does.
So yeah, a lot of relationships just have been like, okay, so where are you at in your reading? How are you doing? Let's do homework together and then we can do devos together. So it just adds a whole nother level of friendship and community as well.
There has to be something else that is a highlight. I mean, didn't you meet some guy from Michigan?
Yes, I did. City girl meets a farm boy. Classic story. Yes.
And what's next for these two Cedarville students?
Yeah, so we are getting married in June, which will be a lot of fun. And then starting a family eventually.
Is he graduating?
Yes, he's a mechanical engineer.
Well, we'll get to what's next professionally later on the podcast. So as I often hear from alumni, their time at Cedarville, and you mentioned some of them, chapel, relationships. These experiences were the best 4 years of their lives because of all those factors. Is that your story too?
Yeah, I would definitely agree that Cedarville is nothing to be taken for granted of. All the experiences and opportunities that they've provided me, I'm so grateful for. Like, it's beyond anything that I was ever thinking, even applying to a college. It was more of like, okay, I'll just do 4 years, do some homework, take some exams, and then get a degree. But I got so much more out of that. It was these relationships that I know I'm going to continue because it's people are just staying in Ohio or moving a little bit away, but not too far. So these are definitely relationships that I can continue.
Yeah.
And we all now have this 4 years in common that we've just been building together, which is really cool to kind of expand and see where that goes.
I haven't said this on the podcast yet, but you're from Largo, Florida, which is near the Tampa area.
Yes.
How did you find Cedarville all the way down in the Sunshine State?
My high school actually recruits from Cedarville for teachers out of the kind of education major. So a lot of my teachers went to Cedarville when I was kind of looking for colleges. They were like, oh, you should check out this place. It was awesome. And that was kind of the first time that I heard the word Cedarville, the college, anything like that. My mom went there as well. And the way
your mom went to Cedarville?
Yeah, she did. She did. And the way that those teachers kind of talked about the college were different than I heard anyone else talk about their college.
Yeah.
So I was like, I should definitely check this place out because that would be a cool opportunity.
Okay.
It was between Cedarville and Georgia Tech because Georgia Tech also has engineering and have swimming, which I love. And Cedarville didn't have swimming. So that was kind of like, oh man.
You never went swimming in Cedar Lake?
Oh, I did.
You did? Tell me about that.
My freshman year, the cardboard canoe race did not go so well for my group.
you sunk.
Yep. So we made it out to the middle and then just kind of tipped over, and it was the end for that.
So your boat sunk.
Yes.
So now the rumor, at least I've heard, is you are graded on how well your boat does. So what grade did you get for your...
That is true. So part of the grade is if you float initially right when you get in the water. And then part of your grade is if you can make it halfway, three quarters, the full way. So it definitely changes off of that. And then another big part of your grade is the report. So if you write your report really well on why you sink, then you can still get an A the thing, which is really helpful. You might not get an A on the specific boat in the lake portion because that's not the goal, but you can still get an A on the whole project if you explain why your boat sank.
Why did your boat sink?
We did not make it wide enough, so it was really hard to balance. It was too narrow, so it kind of just tipped over.
Two-person boat or three-person?
Two-person.
I'm sure there are some valuable lessons that you learned from that opportunity. So as I mentioned in the introduction, Brianna, you went on a mission trip many years ago with your parents, which really opened the eyes to missions for you. Where did you serve, and what did you learn on that trip that not only opened your eyes to missions, but your heart as well?
Yeah, so my parents both teach at the Christian high school that I went to. Okay. And part of the requirement for high school students is that they go on a mission trip. Okay. So the high school teachers lead the mission trip. And every year my parents were doing mission trips. Even when I was in kindergarten, middle school, high school, I would get to go with them. In elementary, I didn't really understand what was happening. It was just get on a plane, go to some cool place.
It was
place.
A vacation.
Right, yeah, yeah. And eat some different food and come back, hang out with high schoolers. And then in middle and high school, it started to click more like, oh, we're going to this place and they don't have a lot of things. They don't know the Lord. So I'm kind of the hope in a way for these people to at least hear the name Jesus. So that was kind of an eye opener. And then a few other mission trips were Guatemala and Honduras, where I actually got into kind of the more engineering side of it. So I got to build stoves in Guatemala, kind of to rework the air and ventilation so they weren't breathing it in their homes. Wow. So we kind of rerouted the smoke, which is really cool experience to be able to put into people's homes.
Yeah.
And from that, people would ask me, like, why are you doing this? Why are you leaving America, coming to my house and doing this? And that opened the door for me. It was not just, I'm an American to come to your country and see what this is, take some pictures. It was, I'm here to spend some time with you and do this for you and help you. Which I really saw as kind of engineering opening that door of people being willing to listen to me instead of just walking into homes and being like, listen to me.
So you were on a mission to help with physical issues, but then it opened doors for you to share the gospel.
Right.
Do you remember a story of you sharing the gospel with anyone?
Yeah. So in Guatemala, there was a man, actually, we finished putting in this oven. It's nothing big. It's like three pieces of concrete, but it kind of like changed their whole world. And through tears in his eyes, he said, like, thank you. He was like, thank you so much for this. And that really struck me. And I was like, what? It's even crazy that he's thanking me for these three pieces of concrete. And then through that, he was like, why are you doing this? And I was able to share, like, I am doing this because the Lord like calls us to. It's almost like the least thing that I can do. Because he's done so much for me.
Yeah.
So like the very least minimum thing that I can do with my life is go and serve other people and do what he's called us to. So that was kind of a cool way to say, like, I'm here because the Lord calls me to, and he loves you as well. Like, I'm here to show you his love. So,
and you know, we are all called to go wherever to share the gospel, whether that's in Guatemala, whether that's in Dayton, Ohio, or Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yes.
To use the platform that he has given us to share the gospel. Although your interest in missions was being cultivated in your heart and mind as you went through high school, and that mission trip was one of the reasons. At the same time, you had a strong love for solving math equations and designing parts and products, which is why you likely majored in civil engineering at Cedarville. Is there still a tug of war between missions and civil engineering in your heart and mind right now?
There definitely was going into college, because in my head, missions was something that you go and do and you sleep in the dirt and you don't know where your money's coming from, food is coming from. So I was like, I do believe strongly that this is something that the Lord wants, but I also need to trust him to provide, which is scary.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a balance. Like, I could go get a job as an engineer and make a lot more money and provide. But then I do have this battle of, I feel like I'm not doing what the Lord called me to. So it's kind of this balance of, will I be able to survive? Is that important on the mission field? Will I make money? Do I need to make money?
Yeah.
Versus something that's more secure in the States.
Fast forward a few years. Now you're in college. You're here at Cedarville. And I learned this from a student writer from the public relations department here at the university. She wrote a story about your life and this journey that you're on. And in it, it said that you heard a story of a fellow student.
Yes.
About an internship opportunity at Samaritan's Purse. How did that lesson, that story, and who was it that really has helped you move forward with what you could be doing post-graduation?
Yes. So it was Rachel Hershey. She was 2 years above me. She was a senior at the time.
Okay.
And she knew that I was looking for internships, also definitely interested in missions. And I knew that she had done an internship with Samaritan's Purse. But in my head, Samaritan's Purse was just the place that comes to your church and you give them a shoebox of Christmas toys.
Right.
And then they send it off and that's the company. So I was kind of talking to her. I was like, why are you as an engineer going to work for a company that's just doing Christmas boxes? And she was like, no, like it's so much more than that. They have engineering, they have water help, they have food help, they have shelter, like all these things that you can do to this internship. She was like, definitely apply. It's awesome. Go for it. So that really opened my eyes to the fact that there are people in this world, there are companies whose goal is to kind of serve the poor in developing countries.
Her conversation with you and what you learned motivated you to apply for the 2023 Global Internship Program with Samaritan's Purse. They're located in Boone, North Carolina. And then you received that scholarship or that internship, and you worked in the water, sanitation, and hygiene department. What did you learn from this internship, and how did the experience truly impact you?
So before this internship, I didn't know it was possible to do missions and get paid by someone else to do it. So
okay.
That whole summer experience was like, there's a whole like world or community of people that are doing missions and they're doing the Lord's work and they've been provided for just by donations and stuff. And it's a job for them. It's a career. So that really opened my eyes to the possibility of missions being a career with engineering. I didn't have to separate the two.
How does Samaritan's Purse operate? A lot of people listening to this program automatically think of Operation Christmas
right,
Child
right.
with the shoeboxes. But I know Samaritan's Purse is heavily involved in disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they weave the gospel into those projects and those services?
Right. So yeah, with water, it's definitely kind of easy to open that door with the whole Jesus is the living water situation.
Okay.
But it's, again, this whole idea of I'm in this country doing something for you. And you haven't asked me, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, but it really just opens the door to share the gospel. So after putting in a water sanitation system, people have clean water and they're not worried about that anymore. So then you're allowed to kind of sit down with them, show them how everything works,
yeah.
become friends, build that relationship.
Okay.
And then you're able to share the gospel with them.
Yeah. So your internship, how long was it and where did you go to serve?
It was about 3 months and I was in Boone, North Carolina the whole time.
A project that you worked on for Samaritan's Purse was to produce larger volumes of clean water. What was this project?
This project was to, again, produce larger volumes of clean water to bigger communities. So a big challenge with this is the country or the community that we're helping is overseas. The goal of the project is, can we make something compact that'll fit on an airplane and also just work for a large amount of people?
Yeah.
And a lot of the problem isn't getting people clean water, because Samaritan's Purse has figured that out. A lot of people have figured that out. But a bigger problem is distributing it, because a lot of communities, rural areas, are just so spread out. So that was kind of an added challenge of how can we distribute this water if we don't have power, we don't have pumps to get water anywhere. And then if these communities are kind of at higher elevations, we can't just use gravity to get water there. So how can that whole thing work? And so a lot of it was figuring out what processes in water treatment are necessary, and then what also can we cut out. So that was a big challenge, just kind of figuring out what we needed, what we didn't need, and then figuring out how to distribute the water.
So what did you guys do? What's the product that you made or manufactured?
Yeah, so one of the things that you do in water treatment is you put a chemical in the water that allows the particles to kind of combine together, and that's a lot easier to filter out because they're bigger.
Okay.
So we decided that you still need that chemical no matter what you're doing. So we put that chemical in the water, and then we let the water just sit under the sun, and those big particles will settle because they weigh more than the water. So after that, you have to just put chlorine in the water, and it's good to go, instead of going through all these other processes like reverse osmosis or clarification, all those things. So that was kind of the result, was taking out some processes that aren't necessary. And then the result of the water was you could probably live on it for a few weeks. It's not recommended to live on it forever because it's not the most safe, but definitely will keep you alive for a while, especially if there's a disaster happen and you're just in chaos.
So then it's primarily a chemical process. You didn't really build a unit or anything like that. Is that right?
Right. So the chemical already is a thing that people know about. So it was more of like figuring out dosing, figuring out how long we need the big pool of water to sit in the sun. How much chlorine do we need to put in if we're cutting out other processes?
So has Samaritan's Purse used this process in disaster relief that you know of?
It's still kind of in the works. So I was kind of the first intern with them to work on it. It was still like a brand new thing, still ordering the first parts for the project. So we got to go out and test it once. So it's still kind of being fine-tuned, but okay. Definitely will be used in the future.
And you think pretty soon?
I would hope so. Very excited.
So being in Boone, that's where they're headquartered. Mm-hmm. Did you get to meet anyone noteworthy or famous, maybe even Franklin Graham?
Yes, he showed up a few times. We took some pictures. He kind of asked us our names, and that was cool getting to meet him. We got to meet Edward Graham, and he kind of runs Samaritan's Purse. So that was cool just kind of hearing his heart behind the ministry and just his goals with everyone being there. We also got to meet some key people that were helping with the Ebola crisis.
Oh, yeah.
In the Facing Darkness movie.
Yeah.
Which was really cool just to hear their heart. They were like, I am risking my life because there is a potential that I get Ebola, but I'm here because this is where God wants me. So that was a really big eye-opener to kind of this idea of if I die, it's worth it because I'm doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. So you're now several months past that internship. What did you learn and what can you take from that going forward?
So that kind of taught me that there is a market or there is a possibility of doing engineering and missions, because before the internship, I didn't really know that that was a thing.
Okay.
So now I've been definitely researching more. I'm finding more and more organizations like Design Outreach that do that, Engineers Without Borders that do all that. So definitely looking into those organizations and just figuring out how I can do missions and engineering combined, because I love both of them. And I feel that the Lord has asked me to do both of them. So,
as you now prepare for what comes next, how have you seen your education at Cedarville, civil engineering, and all the other courses you've taken? Did those experiences, those classes, prepare you to work on that internship and be prepared for a life of ministry going forward?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, looking back, when I think about the two colleges that I was considering, it's just not even a comparison anymore that Cedarville was the right choice. There are so many things that just God allowed to happen that really opened my eyes. For example, Dr. Ayers, the head of civil engineering, is very missions focused, which has been cool to kind of learn under him and hear about all the projects he's going on and see his heart for missions and just learn from someone who's kind of done it before, which is a really cool thing that God has set up and orchestrated. So to prepare for the internship, I had a lot of projects that were similar to the project that worked on over the summer, which is really cool. Miss Professor Booth actually had us work on a water treatment plant, which was like a mini version of what I was doing in Samaritan's Purse, which is really cool that the Lord kind of set that up and orchestrated the order of everything.
That was before you went to Boone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is very cool.
That's impressive.
Yes. And then after the internship, I am working on a senior design project for a hospital in Zimbabwe that Dr. Ayers has connections to. So kind of just the things that I learned at the internship with plumbing and connecting PVC and different fittings and the chemicals have really helped me with the senior design project of a water treatment plant for a hospital in Zimbabwe. And also just using parts that are in developing countries, which is an added challenge to the whole situation.
So is that water treatment plant in Zimbabwe, is that a real project that ultimately is going to see over there? And how will that happen?
Yes. So the plan is to go to Zimbabwe in July and implement our design solution.
Who's going? Are
it
you going?
Is my senior design team. So it'll be Dr. Ayers, Taylor, Calvin, Bell, and Paul.
Okay.
Yes.
How will they set this up? How does that work?
Yes. So the water treatment plant is pretty much set up. The problem is the filter. So the filter, there's just one of them. So if it clogs or breaks or anything, the hospital just has to shut down. They don't get water, and the filter just has to be scraped out. So So the solution was to put in 10 smaller filters. So if one of them breaks down or something, you still have 9 operating and it's okay.
Yeah.
So the goal is to test the system in our lab. We currently have a big swimming pool set up in the lab, which is a lot of fun. So the goal is to kind of test our new filter design and see if it'll work. And then we will go and implement it in Zimbabwe. And then the plan is to implement it with locals that will be operating it full time and just get that conversation going, have them just understand how the plumbing works and the design and everything. And then potentially talk to them about the Lord if they don't know them already.
Were you able to go on any mission trips while you were a student at Cedarville? Because I know that's important to us.
Right. I have not. I was a camp counselor, which I say is like a long-term mission trip. The summer after freshman year, I had a different group of 10 girls just living with me over the summer and then just teaching them different things, which was a lot of fun.
Where was that camp?
It was Twin Lakes in Indiana.
Okay. Is serving others through your civil engineering skills and mindset like Christmas for a young child because you get to use your love of engineering with your love for others? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like Christmas, but it's just so much more than that. There's this whole other level of, I have a strong relationship with the Lord and like I want to do what makes him happy. And doing missions in civil engineering is something that just kind of sets this fire off in me.
Yeah.
It gives me a feeling that I don't feel doing other things, which is crazy. So it's very exciting. And then I just get excited talking about it. I love explaining civil engineering and how you can do it with missions, which has also given me a passion to just kind of talk to other friends as well and say, like, what are you good at? Can you use this for missions to share the Lord, even in the United States or overseas or anything else? So, yeah, it's definitely like Christmas, but honestly, just so much more fun.
So it's fair to say that whatever you're doing after graduation, you're going to be serving the Lord and using your platform to share the gospel. Is that right?
Yes, of course.
So what is next for you?
So next, I am getting married in June,
right?
To Ben, and then we are going to just get normal jobs, get some debt paid off, and then get the experience, because a lot of mission organizations want you to have 3-4 years of job experience before going into the mission field, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we're going to work for 3-4 years, get that experience that we need, and then just kind of go from there, potentially talk back to Dr. Ayers and see if there's any opportunities overseas of communities that need water, and then maybe move there permanently and live there with locals and just implement water systems for them.
So you said he's a mechanical engineering major?
Yes.
So he also has a heart for missions?
Yes, he does.
Have you been able to do anything together in that regard that just excites your heart even more?
Yeah, so we went to spring break a few years ago back to Florida in my house, and my dad was leading a mission trip at the same time in a place a few hours away from Florida. So he asked Ben and I if we wanted to go with him, and of course we did. So we went to this just kind of rural Hispanic community. It was a lot of labor intensive, but just paint the church with them, cut down branches, put in mulch, stuff like that, which was the first time that I was able to kind of serve with him and see how he did in missions as well as I, and just work together. And it was a lot of fun. Like we absolutely loved it. And we were like, let's go back the next day. What else can we do? Like, let's do this forever.
So when you graduate, do you guys know where you're going to live? Do you have any jobs already set up? Tell me about that.
Yes. So Ben is going to be working at P&G, Procter & Gamble. They make like—
Here in Ohio?
In Lima, Ohio. Yeah.
Lima, okay.
They make like Gillette razors and laundry soap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I will be working for Fishbeck in Toledo doing water plant design. Hopefully learning more of the kind of context in a developed world and then also being able to just get skills that I need to be able to implement that in a developing world.
So how are you able to, as a college student, I mean, 2 months before graduation, already secure a job for you and Ben?
Prayer. That is all the Lord's doing. I would not be where I am today without him. A lot of it is kind of like, I feel called to missions. I know that this is what you want me to do. I also know that these organizations want experience.
Yeah.
That means I have to get the job. Like, I just need you to provide.
And he did.
Yeah, he definitely did. It's a lot of work, too, just applying to a bunch of different jobs. It's not like he'll just drop something in your lap every time.
Right.
You do have to put in your kind of side of the effort and work.
Yeah.
But he will definitely open doors and close doors as well.
How many job applications did you put out before you got this
one? 40 to 50.
And who got the job first?
So we were kind of waiting to figure out a general area. And Ben got the job first, and then it was like, okay, so definitely take that job if you like it, and then I will start looking around there, see if we can get something going.
So maybe you'll live halfway between Lima and Toledo.
Right. Yep.
Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with you today. One last question before we close. And I know Cedarville's civil engineering program is the newest engineering program that we offer. Knowing that, you're among one of the first students to go through the program and graduate. How did the program shape you personally, spiritually, and professionally for your current mindset and what's to come?
Oh man, that's everything, even just from the academic side of things to the projects to kind of the students that it attracted. We have a really close group of this 2024 senior class. So we all like to go do homework together, have game nights together. Yeah. So Cedarville really opened the doors for just good relationships with people that I can count on when we're all struggling through the same things. And even the projects that they've provided have really allowed me to learn a lot. And then going through job interviews and talking about projects, they all seem very surprised at the amount of experience that I have that Cedarville has given me with the projects. They're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that you've done all that. Yeah. We haven't heard that from other applicants. So Cedarville has really set me up well for just life after college.
So if you're listening to this program and you're interested in engineering, I really encourage you to check out Cedarville's engineering program, whether you're interested in civil, mechanical, biomedical, electrical, computer.
Yes.
Cedarville has all the programs that you will want. And Brianna, you would agree it's worth looking at, right?
Oh, for sure. Yes.
So take Brianna's advice and look at cedarville.edu for the engineering programs. Hey, that's all the time I have today. I really enjoyed talking with you.
You
came in saying that you're not a talker, but you did a great job.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had a great conversation. So thank you. Best wishes in your future and your wedding and continue to serve the Lord with gladness. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for listening to the Cedarville Stories podcast brought to you by Cedarville University. You are encouraged to share, like, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And be sure to come back next week when we'll hear another Cedarville story for God's glory.